I used to have a paperweight on my desk that had a compass built into it, which was kind of cool, except that the compass didn't work. And so there were times when it thought north was that way, and other times north was that way, or whatever. And then again, you know, because it didn't work, I often thought, well, why even put a compass in a paperweight? I mean, when I'm sitting at my desk, I know which way north is without looking at a broken compass. You know, you need a compass when you're lost in the forest, right? That's when a compass really comes in handy. And I would imagine that if you're out lost in the woods, desperate to find your way home, that there are few things more dangerous to have than a broken compass, right? Because if you don't know which way you're going and the compass sends you this way and then that way, and eventually you're never going to get anywhere. Following the wrong direction is worse than having no direction at all, isn't it? And I think there are a lot of people who go through life without direction. Or even worse, go through life thinking that they're following good directions when it turns out that the directions that they are following are taking them in the wrong way. Sometimes we make decisions that take us down dead-end roads, or they lead us along hazardous paths that lead us into worse trouble than we were in to begin with. And, you know, God doesn't want us to wander aimlessly through life. He doesn't want us to be lost. God doesn't want us to follow a broken compass or an inaccurate map. He doesn't lead us to or leave us to navigate blindly through perilous territory. In fact, I believe that God knows where you should go in your life. And He knows the right way for you to take to get where He wants you to go. And I also believe that God wants to show you the way that you should take so that you can get where He wants you to go. So for anyone who needs a little bit of guidance through life, and wherever we are in the condition of our life, or wherever you think God may be taking you next, we need God's direction. And so we're going to read a little story from Acts chapter 16 today that teaches us what ends up being a really powerful truth. And it's kind of an unusual story, but I think you've probably heard it before. Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Now, I'll show you a map in just a minute, but just follow along with all the name places here. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So the message of Jesus was spreading across the Roman Empire. And Paul, as well as other missionaries, the folks he was traveling with in this story, as well as others, like, remember, Barnabas went a different way, and he took the gospel with him, and other missionaries are working out into other parts of the world. But Paul is working west across what we would know as southern Europe, and in this case, modern-day Turkey, if you can kind of picture that on the map. And I'll show you a map here in just a second. But he's sharing the good news everywhere he is going. And Paul is traveling, in this case, with several people. Paul left Antioch with a man named Silas. Now, we met Silas last week, if you were here for the message. Silas was sent from Jerusalem up to Antioch as they were resolving the dispute that had come into that church. And Silas went there, and then he decided to join Paul on this journey as Paul headed off again to take the gospel farther west. And as they traveled, they came to a town called Lystra. And there they met Timothy. And so then Timothy joined them on their journeys. And then it's interesting that also along the way, Luke joined them. And we don't know exactly when Luke joined the party, but we know he did because as you read the story, the pronouns change to plural. Luke is writing this story. And so eventually he starts saying, we went here and we did this. And so we know that Luke eventually joined Paul on this missionary journey. And so they're sharing the good news of Jesus, working their way across. And again, the map here shows the ancient names, but this journey was primarily across modern-day Turkey. And then eventually they go into Macedonia. So in the upper left corner there, Macedonia, which is modern-day Greece, the northern part of Greece. So you can kind of follow along on the map there and know where they're going. But it's interesting that as Paul is working his way west, that he's not allowed to enter into Asia, which is this large region. Now, we know of Asia as an enormous continent, but at that time, this small part of western modern-day Turkey was known as Asia. And then there was another region he wasn't allowed to enter, Bithynia, which is farther north from that. And so instead of going there, they travel further west, and they come to Troas, and then he has this vision of a man in this dream, this man saying, come to Macedonia, come and help us here. And I find it interesting at this point in the story that it doesn't tell us that Paul argued with the Holy Spirit, right? We know Paul was kind of a hot-headed sort of guy. Once he got it in his mind, this is what I want to do, this is the right thing, then he was going to do it no matter who stood in his way. Remember the story last week. Paul and Barnabas had been missionary partners. They'd traveled together. They'd shared the gospel together for years. But then they have this disagreement, and Paul's not willing to change his mind. And so Paul and Barnabas split company. But here, Paul has in his mind, oh, we're going to head to Asia. No, we can't go there. Now we're going to go to Bithynia. No, we can't go there either. And Paul apparently didn't ask for an explanation, or at least we're not given an explanation to understand why they weren't allowed to go to those places. And then Paul sees the vision of the man of Macedonia, and suddenly he understands what God's will is for him. And so off to Macedonia they go. Now, you and I are not traveling the world as missionaries. We are not in the same situation that Paul was in. And that's important for us to understand. And yet, I believe that God still directs our lives. In other words, it's not just missionaries and people out traveling the world and doing really important things that end up written down in the Bible. God can speak to us too. And I think he does speak to us. He does direct our lives. God tells us and shows us where he wants us to go. People often wonder, well, what is God's will for my life? And that's an important question we should all be asking. What does God want me to do? Whether it's today or next week or next year or however far down the road you're looking in your life, what is God's will for me? Sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations or faced with a decision that we know we have to make, and again we ask, what does God want me to do? And so as we think about this story in Acts 16, I want us to deal with two important questions today. The first question is, why does God close some doors and open others? Right? Which is what he did with Paul and his traveling companions. Closed certain doors, but then opened a new one. So why does God do that? And then the second question is, how does God reveal his will to us? In other words, how does God tell us what is the right thing to do? I know I've asked those questions in my own life many times. We all face moments when we're just not sure which way to go. You might be facing a difficult decision now, or you see various roads that you could take in your life, and you've got to choose which way is right for me to go. Maybe it's a choice about school or about a job or a financial decision or a relationship that you're just not sure which way it's going to go. And you look to God for guidance and you want His leading. And in those moments, I think often we feel so anxious about what we should do, and we don't want to do the wrong thing, and we want to do the right thing, but we get so worked up in our own minds and our own hearts that it's hard in those moments to hear what God is saying to us. So you read a story like Paul and his companions, and they're traveling along, and they look to Asia, and somehow God says to him, no, don't go there, and don't go to Bithynia either. And then Paul conveniently has this vision, this dream of a man of Macedonia, and it becomes clear and obvious. And we read stories like this, and you think, well, sure, it was easy for Paul, but it's not always that easy for me. We would like it to be that easy, wouldn't we? You know, imagine hearing from God every important moment in your life. You know, you think, well, what should I do with my life? And God says, become a nurse. Oh, great. I'll become a nurse. Or, you know, well, who should I marry? Marry Sally. Great, God. That's wonderful. Thank you. Now, you know, what should I have for dinner tonight? Hamburgers, you know. Wouldn't that be nice if it was always that easy? But God may not speak to you like that. He might. He did give Paul this vision, this dream that was clearly saying, this is what I want you to do. And God does speak sometimes to people that way. But there are two things that I believe about God's will, and that I think we see played out in this story of Paul and his companions. The first thing is that God has a perfect will for your life. In other words, God knows what He wants you to do, where He wants you to go, who He wants you to interact with. He knows the perfect route for you to take through your life. God has a will for you. And the second thing is, I believe that God wants you to know what that will is. And He wants you to know what it is so that you can actually do it. If God has a perfect will for your life, then it just makes sense, doesn't it, that He's going to help you know what it is. So, again, we want to deal with these two questions. The first one is, why does God close some doors and open others? There have been times in my life when I thought for sure I knew the right thing to do. When I could see what I wanted to do, and as I looked at the circumstances around me, it looked like this makes sense. I'm going in this direction. The pieces are falling into place, and then for some reason, the train goes off the track, and I'm sent in a totally different direction. And eventually, as life goes on, I'm able to look back and see that that was actually God's doing. God closed that door that I thought was right, and then He opened a new one that was even better. And I couldn't see it at the time. But looking back, it all made sense. Paul and his friends, I think, were in just that kind of situation. Here they are traveling along, sharing the gospel, making disciples, planting churches, working their way westward across the mission field that God has laid out in front of them. And as they were working that way, the province of Asia was next in line. It made sense. This seems like the right thing to do in Paul's mind. But then God said, no, that's not where I want you to go. At least not now. Not yet. And so they had to skip over that entire enormous, you know, think of the thousands upon thousands of people who live there. And God says, no, it's not time for them to hear the gospel yet. And so Paul, the missionary, says, okay, we need to go somewhere else. God closed that door, and Paul had to adjust to that. And we're left wondering, as I'm sure Paul was as well, why did God do that? And the human answer, and I think also the biblical answer, is we don't know. We don't know why God closed that door at that time in that particular place. Why does God close certain doors in your life? I don't know. And you may never know why God does that. Closed doors often feel like disappointments or even failures. You get turned down for a promotion that you thought was all yours for the taking. I don't know why that happens. Or maybe a relationship falls apart, or some opportunity that you thought was just right for you, it slips through your fingers, and you're left wondering, why did this happen? And those closed doors, they can kind of hurt when they close in your face. Often we don't know why, but we can learn, I think, to say, even when I don't understand, I will keep trusting that God has a good, perfect will for me. And I will keep following him. And so in faith, we can also say this: God knows the best path for your life. And sometimes that means certain doors have to close so that you're sent in a new direction. And God often works that way. And we need to accept what he's doing. I think David believed that. You know, we heard earlier in the service from Psalm 139, which is one of the most powerful passages in all of Scripture. But just before 139, the last verse of Psalm 138, I think also speaks to what we're talking about today, written by David. And Psalm 138 is sort of about the hard times in David's life. And he's talking about how God was with him through those difficult times. And then Psalm 138, verse 8 says this: "The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands." And it's this prayer, kind of a call of David's heart to say, God, you've led me this far. Don't abandon me now. And I think in faith, David was saying, I think we can also say, God's not going to abandon me. The work that he's been doing in my life, he will bring to the completion, to the perfect destination that he has in mind for me. And so we trust him in that. Even if I don't understand why, when God closes one door, I trust he'll open another one. And that new door that he opens is going to be even better, and it may not be what I expected, but it's going to be what God knows is right. So Paul learned when God closes one door or even two doors, he's eventually going to open another one. So then that brings us to the second question, and maybe this is the more important one for us and the harder one for us. How does God reveal his will to us? How does God speak to us? How does God say, this is what I want you to do, that's not what I want? How does God speak to us? God does know the best path for your life. So how do we know what it is? How does God show us what that right path is? For Paul, of course, God spoke in a vision in this particular case. I'm sure there are other times in Paul's life where he was left, just like we are, wondering, God, what is the right thing? And Paul had to listen and discern and speak to other believers. And in this case, it was a vision that God gave him, and it became very clear. There was a man maybe dressed in Macedonian clothes or speaking with a Greek accent or whatever it was, but Paul knew very clearly this person is calling for help. We need to go there and share the gospel with the people of Macedonia. God doesn't always speak to us in visions and dreams, though. So let me share four ways that God does speak to us. The first is that God may speak through the circumstances of our lives. And what that means is that God may bring a person into your life or a situation that you may kind of recognize, oh, this is God moving in my life. He's sort of pushing me through the things that are happening around me or through the people that God is bringing to me, that he's showing me this is the right way to go. And it sort of becomes clear as we watch what's happening in our lives that God is leading us down a certain path. But we do need to be careful. We need to be careful because not everything that happens in our lives is from God. And I've heard many times people say, oh, well, that was God's will. Well, are you sure that it was God's will? Do you really know that that terrible thing that just happened, or even that wonderful thing that you think, oh, what a great blessing this is, are you sure that's God's will? Or is it just something that happened to you? And I think that takes real discernment, because sometimes things happen in our lives that are not what God wanted, but He's going to work around those obstacles that come in our way to redirect us back to the path that He has for us. So the circumstances of your life might point you in the right direction, but then again, they might not. And so we need a little more information to be sure. So another way is that God can speak through direct revelation. And this is what Paul received. And this is what maybe we all think we want, right? Oh, if God would just speak to me in a vision, or writing in the sky. Wouldn't that be wonderful if God spoke in that way? A direct voice of God. And we think, then I'll know for sure. Although, I kind of wonder if sometimes we either think we hear God's voice when we really don't, or maybe God is speaking in such a clear and direct way, and yet we just can't believe that He's doing it. And so we ignore what He's saying. And so again, we need to be careful. Are we really hearing what God is saying? Am I just imagining what I want God to say, and so I'm looking around for all these signs in my life? And you hear again, you hear people say this sort of thing all the time. Oh, that's a sign. That's what God wants me to do. And again, it takes discernment. Are you really sure? And that's why we also need to turn to Scripture for confirmation. Because God will never ask you to do something, never lead you in a direction that is in contradiction with His Word. And so a third way that God speaks is God always speaks through His Word. The Bible is God's own written Word sent into our lives to reveal His character and His will. Scripture speaks to us every time we read it. And sometimes when we read God's Word, the Spirit will help us to understand specific direction that God is giving us as we read that passage of Scripture. And maybe you've read that passage dozens and dozens of times before, but now you're facing a moment in your life where you've got to make a decision, and you come prayerfully to God's Word, and you ask the Spirit, please reveal Your will to me. And then you read those words, and it's as though God speaks out of His Word directly into your life, directly to the situation you're facing. Prayerfully reading the Bible is the most common and the clearest way for us to hear God's voice. We read last week from Psalm 119, and it's a very familiar passage turned into a song. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. God directs us through His Word. And you will never go wrong if you follow the leading and the truth of God's Word as you make decisions in your life. Now, there's a fourth way that God can speak, and that is that God often speaks through other believers. That is, God speaks through your brothers and sisters in the church. Now, again, God may lead people into your life who direct you in the circumstances, and you see around you that the people that God leads to you are directing you in certain ways, or again, maybe it's through direct revelation, maybe it's through God's Word, but I think often it's other believers who help us to discern those various ways that God can speak to us. Sometimes when we sit as a church reading God's Word together, whether it's here on a Sunday morning or in a Sunday school class or a Bible study, and it might be that someone across the room says something about God's word or reveals something to you that you hear as God speaking directly to the situation of your life. Or it might be the wisdom or experience that another believer has that as you're trying to make your decision, you ask for advice. You ask for that wisdom that they have. And God can use a brother or sister in faith to help you think through what you're facing today. What a blessing it is to have faithful friends, friends within the body of believers who can help you think through hard decisions, help you hear God's voice and discern His will. So wherever you stand today, whatever decision you're facing, maybe you're at a crossroads in your life or you will be in the coming days, maybe you're waiting for a door to open or maybe you've just had that experience of a door closing in your life. Remember that God wants you to know and to follow His will. And He will speak clearly to you. Whether it's through the circumstances of your life and you think about what God is doing around you, or maybe it's God will speak to you in a vision or a dream or some other voice of revelation, or God will certainly speak to you through His word if you go prayerfully and allow the Spirit to speak in that way, or you'll seek guidance from other believers. But God knows what is best for your life. And He will help you to find and follow that path. So in a moment, we're going to go to the table. But let me pray for you now as we think about what God is doing in our lives. Father, thank You for the promise that You do provide for us, that You do direct our path. And Father, I pray for each one who's here this morning that You would help us to listen to Your voice, to wait on Your direction before we take a step forward. Lord, I pray that You would speak clearly, whether it's through Your word or through another believer, or whether You speak directly into our hearts. Lord, help us to hear and listen and obey so that we can do those things that You say are right and best for our lives. Lord, we love You and we thank You for speaking to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.